Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Lonely Football Show, and I'm Jim Fuel, bringing you another weekly look at the world of non-league football. And what a week. We were at non-league finals day at Wembley on Sunday to see the FA Vase and FA Trophy final. Then we had the National Game Awards with the non-league paper hosting and celebrating some of the greatest in non-league. We'll come to those both in a minute. Before we get to John Couch with his roundup of the non-league news of the week. But let's talk about those big cup finals at Wembley. The biggest day for some of those players' lives, maybe so far, maybe ever. It was a great day out for everybody. We started off with the FA Vase. It was a really entertaining game. White Leaf had moments in the game, as did Whitstable Town, but Whitstable Town ran out winners in the end. But it was very gracious of the joint managers at AFC Whiteleaf, Kelly Waters and Ennio Gonella, who really summed up the game quite well and were gracious in defeat to Whitstable Town. Interesting to note still that even almost a week on from those interviews, we don't know any more about the Combined Counties Premier South title and whether that's Whiteleaf's or not. On Sunday evening, they were going to celebrate anyway. And so to the winning manager, Jamie Coyle, old friend of the show. We spoke to him earlier on in the season. He was fairly keen to make sure that he wrapped up promotion at the time. They'd lost in the playoffs, but I think this one gave him lots of pleasure.
Yeah, it can't get any better than, you know, growing up playing football in your local park and dreaming of playing at your national stadium, and to deliver a win and a trophy in my 25th year of playing non-league football. I keep using the proud word, but you know what the boys have delivered for us and the football club today. It's most definitely a time to go out on a high.
And maybe, potentially, the last pleasure as a non-league footballer. I say that, he's, as we're speaking, flying out to represent an England's veteran side at the other side of the world.
Fly out to Thailand for the Seniors World Cup, so I'm hoping that my legs are recovered after playing an hour and 20 today. But in terms of non-league football, that'll be me concentrating on coaching and managing, because I've had to put a lot of pressure on my management team, because I've got to turn up today, I've got to talk to the players that are not involved, then I've got to get ready and get myself ready for the game. So there's not been many successful player managers in the years that I've known and grown up. So for me now, I need to concentrate on the other side and trying to develop our players and try and get us out of this league.
And then there was a big rush from all the press contingent to try and get back up the stairs at Wembley to make sure that we could leave the press conference and watch the FA Trophy final just in time to see that kick off. Wasn't the sparkliest of first half between Aldershot Town and Spennymoor Town. Spennymoor Town just looked a little cautious of their step one opposition. In the end, the Aldershot Town team made a few tweaks off the field, on the field, and were able to run out quite comfortable winners. But Spennymoor Town, Graham Lee, manager there, a club that means so much to him with his dad managing previously, very gracious in defeat, but very proud of his players and proud of the club that he managed at Wembley.
extremely proud of what the lads have achieved, what we've all achieved to get here. We spoke about not trying to make it just about getting here, about the result. I thought first half we had some great moments. Games had our moments, and unfortunately we didn't take our chances. And then even their first goal, I felt we were in a great position on the edge of their box. We probably made the wrong decision, we lose it, and their counter is 5 seconds later, we're 1-0 down. That seemed to deflate us a little bit and took the energy out of the lads a little bit, and we just couldn't get ourselves back into it. So games are about moments, finals are about moments, and we've had our moments throughout this cup run. And today, just unfortunately, we didn't take it when we needed it. I've thanked every one of them as I've walked around the pitch for what they've achieved and what they've done and what the efforts they've given, not just this cup run, but the full season. It's been an immense challenge. The amount of games we've played for a part-time club, the travelling we do is unbelievable. And these lads are full-time workers. We demand off them like you would a full-time player. But they've just finished an 8-hour shift, so you can't be any proud of what they've achieved. And even today, you're up against another opposition in the NFL first half. We caused them many problems.
And so to old friend of the show, Tommy Widdrington. We spoke to him earlier on the season, spoken to him over many years and see him progress. And as a manager, certainly a year to remember already. And he's now become the first Aldershot Town manager to get to Wembley and to win the FA Trophy.
Dreams is what they are. You know, as a young lad, growing up on a council estate in Newcastle, I dreamt of getting to Wembley. I came when I was a schoolboy to come and watch Peter Beardsley play for England. He was my hero. I was lucky enough to make my debut in the Premier League, or the First Division as it was back then, against him. So I've had a really fortunate, and I think you need it, as Alan Ball said to me, when he was my manager, the best manager I've ever had is a man manager. He said, I don't believe in luck, Tom, but I believe you need it. And you do, you know. So maybe we've had the rub of the green because I had a poor episode in November, which, you know, came from the blue and touched me on the shoulder and went. But, I'm ecstatic, as you can probably tell. It's emotional seeing that there. I've invested a lot of time and effort into a lot of them lads, not just at this club. Some of them have been discarded. A lot of them have been discarded. And to pick them sort of kids up, put them back together and make them believe in themselves again, that's a big part of what I do. And I'm made up for every single one of them. And I'm gutted for the lads on the crutches. You must have seen there's six lads at this minute in time that just couldn't be. And probably five of them would have played had they been fit. So, look, that's football. It's a tough old industry and it kicks you up the backside a lot more than a patch on the back. But I'm going to enjoy being patted on the back for the next couple of days. That's, like I said, that's dreams, stuff dreams are made of. When I woke up in the hospital, there was four people around my bed. And I didn't recognise three of them, and them three people were my children. And that was like, shit, what's happened here? So I knew something had happened. I didn't know what had happened, but I knew something had happened. And obviously, because I didn't expect my kids to be at the bottom of my bed, because they weren't, they don't live with me. So that's why I didn't recognise them. It's not because I didn't know who they were. I did eventually, but I couldn't get up out of bed and go to the loo. That's how bad it affected me. And it took me a few days to learn. I had to retrain my brain. You know, I've got two scars there that'll never not be there. And I use this term, you know the quiz game Blockbusters, when you go across the screen and you get one wrong and then you've got to rewire. That's what's happening. And I've had to learn, like I said, that's a definite thing, the physical thing. I can't do things much behind my back. So it's strange, it's quirky, but it's I'm just delighted that my immediate family, you know, when it happened, were so fantastic. My wife in particular, Sharon, she insisted. I didn't want to go to hospital because I woke back up after the strokes, obviously, and I just said, look, I get up for work at 5 o'clock in the morning and about 7 o'clock, I said, I'll just go to bed. She went, no, you've got to go to hospital. And she insisted, and thank Christ she did, because they told me the biggest chance of having a second stroke is very after your first. Well, I'd already had two. I didn't want another one. So. There's no good thing about having a stroke, I'll tell you that. But the one thing that happens is you get an unbelievable MOT on your body. So I've had brain scans, heart scans, blood scans. I've had dye pushed through me, veins through my brain for different pictures and stuff, and I've still got things ongoing. So it's never not going to be in my life. I take tablets now for the rest of my life. I've had to change my lifestyle. People who knew me as a young lad in the game would have said, Tom loved a drink, and I did. And the culture was different back then. We did drink together, we drank a lot, and we drank often. So I don't do that anymore, not in the same volume. I still like a glass of wine and what have you, but I haven't had a lager, which I used to have the odd Spanish lager. I've never had a lager since the 27th of November. Well, people will forget about me, mate. That's what happens in football, you move on. But they'll never forget how I've made them feel, how my team's made them feel. That's really important. You know, I'll not be judged by a lot, but I'll be remembered. I'll be remembered for being the lad who took that team and won the first time. Because you only come here for the first time once, you know.
So a magical day, particularly for Aldershot Town and all their supporters. I think they're probably still celebrating up in Aldershot as we speak. A quick turnaround for the guys at the non-league paper, because they were then hosting on Wednesday at AFC Wimbledon the National Game Awards, celebrating the great and the good of the non-league game. Lovely to see the chairman of the three Trident Leagues, Mark Harris, Nick Robinson and David Martin at the awards ceremony, along with lots of people that sponsored the game, that have committed to the game, both as players, managers, chairman. It really is a special day with people that are special to the non-league game, all brought together. One of whom was Andy Peakes, the manager at Tamworth FC, and he picked up an award for the best FA Cup run of the year. And as I said to him, what a year he'd had.
If I could put into words a season that summed up non-league, it'd be yours, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's words I can use to actually describe it, because it's been unbelievable, really. Not just the fact of staying in the league, the National League, which is an unbelievable league to play in, to have the cup run we've had as well, to win the Birmingham Senior Cup, first time in 53 years, which is not massive to me because I don't live in Birmingham, but for the people in Tamworth it is. Yeah, unbelievable. And to come to an awards day like this, which has been brilliant, is, sort of things you have to enjoy.
And we've heard people talk about the wonders of non-league. I always talk about it is the people that makes the magic of non-league.
Yeah, I think so. I think non-league football's basically, obviously there's some higher levels, some lower levels, there's some cash and some non-cash, but I think non-league football is about people in general playing football because it's a hobby. I've been lucky enough to earn money both playing and managing, but it's something that I've done after my work job. I'd have played Saturday, Sunday for nothing, managed Saturday, Sunday for nothing because I love football. I'm now fortunate enough to be in a position where I'm getting paid to manage, where a lot of my friends, kids, manage on a PlayStation or an Xbox, because it's what every young bloke who loves football wants to do. So yeah, I think you have to enjoy these days, and you have to, you know, I think there's so much camaraderie in this sort of level as well.
And you're standing in front of me now, you're bouncing, you love these events. What about the summer? It's going to be busy.
I think the summer's, everyone says you're going to chill out now. I think this is probably the busiest time for a manager, because you've got players you want to keep, some you want to add to, agents who want to throw anything in the world, agents don't even know what you're doing, if you're full-time, part-time, hybrid. So yeah, there's loads going on, but like you said, when you've had a successful season, you have to embrace it. I'm looking to get a week away with the wife, because I have to. I'm going to turn the phone off to a degree, not for my kids and my mum and dad, but certainly some football calls. But yeah, you have to, I think it's life, isn't it? You have to enjoy the good times, and I think football is a stark reality that you know there's a lot more lows than highs, so when the highs come along like today, you have to embrace it.
Fantastic always to speak to managers like Andy, who just enjoy the game and understand how lucky they are to have such a successful season as his club have. Wishing well next year. I'm sure it's going to be another tough one, but I wouldn't rule them out of any particular silverware or cup runs or anything next season, because he is a wily wheeler and dealer and a great coach and a great man too. So we'll speak more about the National Game Awards later on in the show with John Couch, no doubt, and also his take on the FA Vars and FA Trophy. No other guest for you this week, because we've just got so much to cram in. There will be some games coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll still keep this show going for another couple of weeks before the summer break. But for now, I guess it must be time to sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Well, it is that time of the week then. It's another week, this season. It just seems like it's taken forever, but I've enjoyed it. It's been weird and wonderful, and that's probably why I like my next guest, actually. I don't like to call him too weird, but he's definitely wonderful. It's time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers, and welcome back to Executive Editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Tim. Weird and wonderful. That's an improvement, actually.
Well, I mean, I say, definitely wonderful. I've spent more time in, I think, your company this week than I have my own wife's. But in terms of magical weeks, I'm not saying that that's created it, but in non-league, this probably is the one, isn't it? This week has been extra magical because we started with Sunday and waking up to another bumper non-league paper, of course, and then we had that magical day at Wembley for non-league finals day. I think the official attendance were given at 38,600 there to witness two good games of football, but the noise of that number, it was telling for both games.
Yeah, it was. It felt like a lot more, I must admit. But you're right. I mean, there was four very excited fan bases there watching their teams under the arch. It was tremendous. I mean, Aldershot Town, I mean, to take 20,000 people, that's an unbelievable achievement. And to see their club make history was fantastic as well. And they very much played their part, as did Spennymoor, who had to travel such a long way to get there. But it was really magical day. It was pretty fitting to say it was those clubs' days in the sun, and it was, because it was a beautiful day at Wembley. Very hot for the players, as the managers alluded to afterwards. You know, it was a big pitch. I think they were certainly feeling it. But what a day! It never fails to deliver. We say two really, really good games of football. The Vars in particular, I thought the Vars final was great. Two very evenly matched teams going at it, hammer and tongs, and they run themselves into the ground, and certainly did their level of football credit. It was a magical day. But tiring also.
Yeah, I mean, that Vars game, as you say, it had everything, didn't it? Including loads of extra minutes. But there were, what, 5-6 quality saves by goalkeepers at both ends. In the end, I think Whitstable Town just seemed to up their game as the match went on.
Yeah, we went on and on and on. I think it was 14 minutes in total, I think, added time at the end of both halves, and then it went to extra time as well. It was probably the longest game I think I can remember. But you're right. I mean, both teams hit the woodwork. Both goalkeepers were forced to make really, really good saves to keep their team in it. And both teams were guilty of some missed opportunities as well. It was real end to end stuff. And as I say, very, very competitive. Two really, really good teams for the level. It could have gone either way. I thought Whitstable were probably worthy winners, and the AFC White Leaf managers were very sporting in accepting that. I thought White Leaf just sort of run out of gas a little bit, and the youthful energy really of Whitstable, I think, saw them through. So I think they just about nicked it, but what a game of football to witness as a neutral.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of sitting next to Dave Anderson watching that game as well. And I've spent many hours in Dave's company watching football games. It's always insightful. But the interesting thing was, it was his first time back at Wembley since he'd won the FA Vars. I'm sure other people are aware that he'd won the FA Vars. It's a joke point between us all. But it was interesting insight, and particularly when, I think it was Whiteleaf, wasn't it, that hitting the bar just before full time, and a similar thing had happened in Dave's final as well against Cray Valley Paper Mills, and it was just it was interesting to see him sort of really getting into the game, which I haven't seen for a while with him.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, it must be quite poignant, really, yeah, for these guys to come back. I saw Tim Sills there, yeah, and obviously Tim too has had some moments there. So it must be pretty poignant. I didn't realise it was Dave Anderson's first time back there at Wembley. He clearly seemed to enjoy it, and must be great to sort of cast your mind back on those glory days, and sort of Dave certainly had a good number of them over the years, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I almost thought that I needed my camel coat on there, feeling like all motty, because I had Dave Anderson one side, Phil Annette with all the stats, and your good self behind me. It was like we had the dream team there, and it, as you say, it was a dream FA Vars final. And then by the time we were back from the post-match press conference, the FA Trophy final was well underway, and really... as you've already said, Aldershot worthy winners. Probably only looked like one winner on the day. Aldershot started very brightly, then the ball slowed a little, didn't it? And I think Tommy Widrington and his team spotted that and just tweaked it. And in the end, as I say, comfortable winners.
Yeah, they were in the end. You're right about the kickoff. It really did. It really did come so quickly after the Vars final. I didn't get much opportunity to speak to as many players as I would have liked to have done normally, but I just got back just as they were kicking off, which was very lucky indeed. But I mean it didn't really matter actually, even if I had been late, because the first half was really poor. Aldershot, for me, weren't moving the ball quickly enough. They weren't hurting Spennymoor. Spennymoor actually missed the most glaring of chances in that first half. That was arguably the highlight. But you just had that feeling that Aldershot had that extra gear, and I think sort of 6 minutes into the reach stop, they got the goal. And really, from there, there was only really one winner. Spennymoor did absolutely amazing to get there, but they didn't turn up in the second half, unfortunately. And Aldershot, I thought Aldershot sort of cruised it. And the third goal from Josh Barrett was the icing on the cake. It was an absolutely tremendous strike. The fans went absolutely wild behind that goal, and it was a glory day for them all round. They're a fan base who haven't had a lot to cheer about over the years. A fan base I know very well, and they really enjoyed that. And 24 hours later, they're in their open top bus all around the town, and I think the party's still going on now. It was really an occasion for them to stay, but it was their day, and they thoroughly deserved it.
And we've had some great non-league finals days in recent years, over the years. But I just think it had that classic sort of atmosphere all around. And it seemed that everybody, although you say, you know, the trophy wasn't maybe one of those great classics as a spectacle of football, everybody, I think even the Spennymoor fans, seemed to enjoy the day out and left with smiles on their faces.
Yeah, they did. I mean, their team, as I say, I've done them proud just to be there. Beating three national league clubs to get there, it was a tremendous run. You can see that they were good side. I think maybe it was a case of say big pitch, very very hot day. I think it was the culmination of what was a very long hard season, and maybe just caught up with them a little bit second half. But as I say, it was all the shots day really, and Spennymoor, as hard as they tried, it didn't quite work for them in the second half. But still did their fans very very proud, and gave them a day that they'll remember for the rest of their life. Not many clubs get the opportunity. Clubs at that level, obviously, get the opportunity to play at Wembley and watch the fans watch their team at Wembley. So great day for them. Unfortunately, the result didn't go their way. But Graham Lee was very proud of his men, nevertheless.
Yeah, I think both of the losing managers very very proud of their players, their fans, their club, but also very respectful to the winners, which, again, I think just showed why we love non-league.
Yes, and that's right. Very much so. I was actually surprised with the AFC White Leaf managers. When they took to their seats in the press conference, they basically said Whitstable were the better team. They thoroughly deserved it. I thought it was a little bit closer than that, to be honest with you. I think maybe doing the road players a little bit of a disservice. I thought it was a cracking game of football that could have gone either way. But they were very magnanimous in defeat. And you're right. That's non-league football all over it. At the end of the day, rivalries is sort of skin deep, really. The nature of the game and the occasion, I think, was enjoyed by all. And I think that would have been the case, whatever the result in both finals as well. It was a great day for non-league football, as I say, and that was what Finals Day was created for.
That's what happened on Sunday, and then we had a similar great day for non-league football and a great celebration of what non-league's all about on Wednesday at AFC Wimbledon for the National Game Awards. Yourself and Matt Badcock, I think, probably could now give those two Geordie boys who are on ITV all the time a bit of a run for their money.
Yeah, I'll put my being a pound behind them anyway. But it was again a real a great occasion. Great to see so many people turn up. We had some top guests, really nice people who I'd never met before, never spoken to before, and I could have talked to them all night long. Some real non-league legends, and there was a lot of talking on the tables, bit of networking done maybe, and that's what the occasion is all about, celebrating non-league football for what it is, and that's everyone in that room loves the game and is passionate about watching the game and wanting it to succeed and wanting it to progress, and a great day. It's hard work, the NGAs, I won't lie, but once they're finished, then it's a day for us to savour. We went down the pub, have a couple of Coca Colas, and look back on a great season, and fantastic day, and I'm delighted it went without a hitch, and we've got great feedback from people saying they enjoyed the day.
Yeah,
congratulations to the winners as well. It was there was some really really worthy winners this year.
I think the great thing about it is it shows again why we love non-league football, but also why non-league football attracts so many new people in, because we had all different ages. We had young players. We had people that have done over half a century in supporting non-league football, and some probably even more than that, managers, sponsors, but everybody, for all different walks of life, different qualifications, different backgrounds, but all there for that magical passion of non-league football.
That's it, and that was what was so special about it. As you say, different people from completely different backgrounds, teams from the bigger teams in step one, all the way down to the smallest teams in step six. Everyone had an involvement in the game, and everyone was a supporter of the game. The knowledge that people had in that room was absolutely incredible. Myself and Matt bow down to it, because such great people who have been in the game a long, long time. I mean, talking to Mick Joyner, who was our unsung hero. He'd been in the game longer than I think both Matt and I together have been born. It was incredible. And I could have listened to him all night. Great to see Nick Robinson getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. Thoroughly deserved again. He's been in the game 50 years, and he's forgotten more about it than most of us know. And it was just great all round. Good to see the Barnet boys after the season they had. They picked up team of the year, and Dean Brennan got manager of the year. So Connor Smith collected that on his behalf. Thoroughly deserved there, and it was great to see everyone. The winners were fantastic, and we got a nice picture in the taken from the AFC Wimbledon stands in the comfortable prawn sandwich seats, which will be in our non-league paper on Sunday. So yeah, brilliant all round, and looking forward to next year now.
Talking of looking forward to next year, because you know, in the week of weeks, we've also had the Football Association unveiling the club allocations for the 25-26 season, steps 2 to 6. We've got not too many shocks, I don't think. Merthyr Town have been placed in the National League North after they ironically won the Southern Premier South. I mean, it makes sense that they're probably going to be easier for them to travel out the M5 to access clubs, particularly with the way the relegations went from the National League.
I spoke to Paul Michael not so long ago, and we spoke about this, and he said it isn't a great deal of difference between the North and South in terms of travelling distance. The South is a lot further than you think, really, for them.
It does broaden out quite a lot, doesn't it? And particularly from they've got to go across the bridge, I guess, to get to most places. So I haven't seen the mileage figures, but it seemed a sensible decision to me.
Yes, yeah, I think so. Yeah, and when you think of all the teams down in Kent and Essex, that's a bit of a trek for them as well. So as it is, they'll be heading north, and they've got some big games to look forward to. Macclesfield being in that league is going to be huge. They're going to be a big gun in there. And factor in the fact that Kidderminster Harriers have got a point to prove, and then you got the loser of the Scunthorpe Chester game, yes, playoff game. That's going to be. that's a huge game, and there'll be a huge football club who will still be playing in the National League North next year. I think for me, that's the division really to look out for. Excuse me. Next season, there's going to be some really really big clubs. It's going to be very very competitive in there.
Yeah, and other sort of bits and pieces out of the allocations. Farsley Celtic relegated from the National League North last season. They're going to kick off the new season in Step 5, back down in the Northern Counties East Premier, having failed to be awarded one of these Step 1 to 4 club licences and requesting to be considered for placement at Step 5 or Step 6. That means a little bit of juggle, a reprieve for Barwell at Step 3, Southern Premier Central, and Withenshaw Town at Step 4. They're going to remain in the NPL West. Brickhouse Town also reprieved at Step 4 of the NPL East because of the voluntary relegation requested by Bedmonton Heath Harlequins. They're going to go back down to the Wessex League Premier, and I know literally as we started talking, John, they've released an official statement, I think, as a club. Of course, you know, we've got the allocations, still nothing certain. There's still all of these are subject to appeal, I'm sure, as well, and people, you know, maybe clubs looking to be transferred from one league to another, maybe to suit their travel. But we've also still got that combined counties Premier League South situation still to be resolved. I think the FA chiefs has basically tried to second guess what's going to happen. I'm not sure this is the sort of scenario you can second guess, but there's potential for AFC Whiteleaf, Jersey Bulls, Red Hill, I guess, for all still to be created champions. We think it's going to be Whiteleaf, but whoever's going to be promoted will end up in the Isthmian Southeast. But it should, one of the promoted clubs through the playoffs, which could also include the Cobham and Fleet Town, of course, who are holding on, waiting to get these players played. They may be placed in the Isthmian South Central, and then South Park, based in Reigate near Gatwick, I guess is best description. they could be then shifted across to the East and South East. So we've got allocations, all subject to appeal, of course, and all viewable. I know you shared it on your socials. We shared it on our socials. I'm sure it's available on many sites there. But it just, both coming out on Thursday afternoon, it just added to the magic of the week.
It certainly did. I mean, allocations coming out is a big day for league football, and there's usually a fair bit of fallout from it as well. And I'm sure this year won't be any exception. Although there's nothing really that currently sort of springs to mind, bar this combined counties league debacle, which is getting very, very messy now, isn't it? And I've got a lot of sympathy for the league, but it's clearly an issue. It's something that was alluded to sort of during the NGAs yesterday. There is still a big issue, I think, that needs to be looked at in terms of players being eligible to play. By all accounts, there is a system in place that should make it easier, but there's a glitch in that system that's causing the problems. And if Jersey Bulls can spot 18, I think, so I understand, 18 infringements over the course of a season, then there's clearly a problem, and it's resulted in this. And fair play to the FA for obviously acknowledging that and putting the either ors in place. It's still very, very messy. I just hope that that doesn't go on too long, because it's the clubs themselves, I think, I actually feel sorry for. I mean, the clubs at that level are still, I'm guessing, having to pay their players while the playoffs are away, which is not ideal when they're not earning any money. It's not ideal all round. And must say about Farsley Celtic, just how sad that's been for them. They really have had a year to forget, haven't they? I didn't play a home game all year, and now those long suffering fans are going to have to watch their club at step five next season. And again, a very, very sad situation, but hopefully, I think I must talk for everyone and in wishing them all the best, and it'll be great to see them back.
Yeah, and hopefully they can take some sort of solace from other clubs, like Mac, like Bury, that have been through the worst of times, but then we've seen them this season having the best of seasons, clubs can come back, and we're probably in these hard times, that's when everybody rallies together. I wanted to say about the allocations and the leagues. There's lots of criticism goes on. There's lots of hard work that doesn't get seen by the people that have to sit on these committees, and there's no straightforward answer. I'm sort of going to use the Isthmian League South Central Division, which is one that I know really well, as one sort of example, because it used to be known as like that little conurbation just around the bottom corner there of the M25. All the clubs sort of very close together, and whereas this year's allocation, the way the clubs have come in, been promoted, demoted, and it's very much now like a corridor that goes from the west side of London all the way down to the south coast, with you've got AFC Porchester in there now, Fareham Town on the way down to there, goes across to Littlehampton Town and Bognor Regis Town now. So the allocation is not just like putting the clubs that are in that little circle and everything's fine. Those circles, those boundaries are constantly changing every season.
Yeah, they're getting bigger, aren't they? Yes, you're dead right to say that. The Isthmian League, you're right, used to be very, very tight and compact. Obviously, there's a lot of teams in and around that area. But it does seem to be widening somewhat. And also, it's the same with the Southern League. I mean, there's been a lot of publicity about the travelling distances, especially at step four in that Division One South. I don't really know what the answer is, to be honest with you. I think it's something, unless there's a major restructure that I think we're just going to have to lump. Certainly in the Southern League, there's the teams like Falmouth and Helston and right down there every week. For them, it's a bit of a journey, and as it is for the teams going down there. But what we'll say about Falmouth, and that they won our away day yes. experience NGA yesterday. So yeah, it might be worth a trip down to Falmouth next year. They've certainly got things right. They're a very welcoming club for the away day fans, and it's a beautiful part of the world as well. So if your team are lucky enough to play Falmouth on a Saturday next year, it would certainly be worth the trip.
Yeah, and it's a very valid point though, that they, you know, were recognised for that fan experience, and I think that's what clubs need to do. Yeah, a bit like if a player wants to play at a higher level, he needs to, you know, maybe look after himself a little bit better and sort of focus on the football. Likewise, clubs need to look at that fan experience. Clubs need to sort of, you know, need to understand that, unfortunately, there are costs in running a football club that wants to move up the pyramid or play in a certain level of the pyramid.
Yeah, very much so. As I say, the fans who follow their football clubs through thick and thin and all weathers, it costs them a lot of money, and it takes a lot of time, effort, and commitment in order to do that. So I think for clubs to give a little bit back, like Falmouth. I mean, I'm just using them as an example. There's a lot of clubs who do a lot of really hard work to make the place welcoming for visiting fans, and certainly the match day experience I think is as good as it's ever been in non-league football, which is great to see.
Yeah, and you know, clubs can't do anything about the miles between each of them, so they have to look at the other bits that they can tweak. We had Uxbridge on last week, and I know that they've re-announced that they're keeping their season tickets at the same price for next season. I think an adult's £50 season ticket for the season, concessions are £5 for a season ticket there. And I know Bracknell Town as well, they've announced this week that for a limited time only, they're offering free season tickets for fans who want to get there. It's all about getting fans there and then giving them that magical experience.
Yeah, that's right. I heard yesterday, I think it's Potters Bar Town have got a ground share with AFC Welling, who are a very, very ambitious club. And I think they've got like a £200 joint season ticket basically for both clubs. So, there'll be football at the ground every single week, and for that amount of money, you can follow the fortunes of both clubs. So yeah, there's a lot of really, really good deals out there, and they're trying to make non-league football accessible and engaging for fans of all ages, and I think we've seen this week that they're succeeding in doing that. It's great to see non-league football thriving, and long may it continue.
Long may it continue, and you know, most people's seasons are finished, but we've still got games to be played in the National League. National League South and National League North finals, it's all already sort of touched upon there. It starts off National League South final 12:30 kickoff on Sunday this weekend. Boreham Wood against Mason United, probably not the two sides that we would have put in there maybe at this, you know, around December time, but probably at the start of the season, probably would have been two of the fancy sides to get back up into the National League.
Yeah, it's interesting, really, isn't it? To see that, I think of all the teams who played in those or competed in those National League South playoffs, these are the two that you fear could pull up an upset. They're full of big players and people who have done it on the big stage for a long time, and I don't think it's any surprise to see them there. Maidstone obviously have won two away games to get there, but they're the team for the big occasion. Boreham Wood as well. Luke Garrard's been there, done that, and he's got a very a core of a team that have played at a very high level. So it's two very, very evenly matched teams. I think it's all going to be on the day, but obviously two teams who not long ago were Central League teams, they'll be wanting to get back. I can't call that one. Mm. I really can't. I think it's going to be a crunch of a game. And I think whoever handles the occasion the better will come out on top. But as I say, it wouldn't surprise me either way if either team did it.
Yeah, well, I'm giving up predicting football anyway because I think the one thing you learn through decades of following non-league football is that you don't know how a result's ever going to turn out in non-league football. The National League North final, then also on Sunday, 4 o'clock kickoff, Scunthorpe United against Chester. You only had to see the attendances at those semi-finals to see what a massive game this one is.
Yeah, huge game. Two very, 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 very big football clubs. I understand that Chester sold their tickets in record time. It was no surprise to me whatsoever. That's going to be a massive game. I mean, Chester going to Kidderminster Harriers and beating them. That show what they're about. I think they're six wins on the trot. Now looking for a seventh for a second time this season. They've hit form at just the right time under Callum McIntyre, but coming up against a team who are desperate to get back into that National League. They've been there or thereabouts at step two for a couple of seasons now. Too big a club really for that level. They recognise that, and they'll be desperate to get back in. And it's good. What a game it's going to be. Big crowd at Glanford Park. It's again could go either way. It's who handles the occasion the better. And really looking forward to this game. I think it'll be an absolute crack.
And then we're speaking early Thursday evening. We've seen the first eliminator in the National League. Oldham pretty much put in FC Halifax Town to the sword in a 4-0 win on Wednesday evening. Ahead of the Rochdale Southend game, which is Thursday night as we speak, setting up some massive semi-finals for next week. I was a little bit sort of sceptical about the National League playoffs being spun out so long because of the availability for Wembley for the final and that sort of thing, but I think it's adding to the excitement.
Yeah, it certainly is. They seem to have gone on a long time, didn't they? It seems a long time ago since the National League season finished. But they're giving us a few bonus games, aren't they? At this time of year. And Oldham were mightily impressive yesterday in beating Halifax 4-0. I mean, what a performance. Three goals in 12 minutes. The tie was all but over by all accounts. FC Halifax Town didn't turn up on the day. They'll be disappointed. They had a really good season against all the odds again. They're the team that people like to write off, but they always prove you wrong. But on this occasion, Boundary Park was just a step too far for them. And if you talk about clubs with big game players, Oldham Athletic then are definitely a team to watch in the playoffs this year. You wouldn't want to come across them. Under Mickey Mellon, of course, who's been there, done it. They've got some really, really experienced players who know the big stage, and over 10,000 at Boundary Park last night. That makes them that just shows what a big football club that is. And looking forward to the Rochdale Southend game tonight. Again, two very, very big clubs. Great to see Southend in the playoffs. What another great season they've had under Kevin Mayer. And not a lot for those fans to cheer about over the years, but certainly Rochdale for me, they're probably going into the playoffs as the form team. So anything again can happen there. But with Yorkshire City and Forest Green Rovers waiting in the wings, it's going to be it's going to be an enjoyable few days. That's for sure.
It's a magical week with, like, you know, what packed and moved. We haven't even had a chance to speak about the managerial merry-go-round, and I've probably got two sides of A4 of notes of who's gone who, where, and everywhere. But it's it's amazing. I think it probably sort of shows how wonderful you guys are to put a paper out every week, packed full of non-league stuff, and, you know, the stuff that you have to discard, I guess, and maybe sort of put down in a small nib, or maybe in a smaller space than you'd like, because, you know, reporting on non-league football, it's the best job in the world.
Yeah, every week, every single week, there's something that we just couldn't quite fit in, or didn't use as big as we would have liked to have done. If we could have 100 pages every week, then we would. Because we fill it, especially this time of year, with so much going on, and you might talk about the managerial merry-go-round. There's been quite a few this week. The one I was quite sad about was Jamie Tompkins, yes, going at Ascot United. I mean, what a couple of years that they've had, and got to the South Central playoffs, and the brink of step three, which is a fantastic achievement for the club. And unfortunately, they lost in the playoffs. And Jamie's been a really, really good servant to the football club. Very, very popular guy down there. And I wish him in the club all the very best. Yeah, shame to see them. Shame to see them part ways. And also Scott Harris at Kingstonian as well. Very similar situation.
He's left again.
Yes, he's left. He's left again. It's which is a shame, because he's such a good fit there. Obviously, with the history of his dad managing the club as well. Did very well to get them in the playoffs. Difficult situation. It's not really been the year that they thought they may have when Scott went in this time last summer. But it ended a little bit on a sour note, which is a shame. But two really good managers at that level, and they'll be back, I'm sure.
Yeah, also sad to see Adam Lakeland out at Kings Lynn Town as well. I think he's spoken to BBC Norfolk and mentioned about the club probably having to revert to part-time again, and playing budgets being cut. And, it just shows that, clubs are in all sort of situations that often doesn't get spoken about until, things are upon them.
Yeah, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. That's it. And I think that's probably the situation here. And Adam Layton had a fantastic season at Kings Lynn Town, sort of getting them. They were at the top end of the table pretty much all season, and they ended up in a playoff place after a bit of an eye-opening season the year before. But it's shame to see him go. I mean, we were... We hope that we didn't put the mockers on him by linking him to the Kidderminster job last week. We hope it wasn't our fault, and we sort of sparked something there. But I'm sure it was I'm sure it was something amicable. Well, I hope it was amicable, because good season had by all there, by both manager and club.
And also, one I will mention as well, because I'm hoping this is going to become a big story that we can maybe follow on, because these are the sort of, like, you see a little seed and you think, it's going to be a great story. Brothers Jack and Stuart Ainslie, the new joint managers at Felixstowe and Wharton United, both players with the club, making their step up. They're the sort of story, you wouldn't get that in the Premier League.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah, fantastic. If it's the same Jack Ainslie I'm thinking of, he's a former Ipswich Town youth.
He is indeed. Both of them were Ipswich youth.
He was very highly rated at Ipswich. And good for him. Fantastic opportunity for him. Again, Felixstowe Wharton, there's not a lot that needs changing there. It's a good time to join a club. He's inherited a decent squad, which top three of the table pretty much all season, and just missed out on the playoffs agonisingly. And yeah, they'll go again next year. They're bound to be one of the favourites again for that. Great opportunity for the Aisleys, and I wish them every success.
Well, I'm sure you'll be reporting all about them in the non-league paper. I think I've probably worn you out more than the rest of the week already, so I should let you go. But I guess for me, let's plug the non-league paper again. Make sure that you buy it. Make sure you read it, and make sure you give us the feedback it deserves. Because Matt, John, the rest of the team do a magical job to get it out every Sunday. Even when some of us go on holiday over the summer, they still churn it out. Magical birthday this year, but here for many more years.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, thank you for your kind words. Yeah, I mean it's an institution, but we're very very proud to do what we do, and we'll be out every week. A lot of people ask me every year, you know, are you losing for the summer? No, summers are one of our most important time of year to get us all ready for the season. Plenty of news and interviews, and we've got features are coming up. Some fascinating stuff over the next few weeks. For now, we're sort of wrapping up. What's been a really, really, really big week, obviously with finals day and the NGAs and the allocations as well. So it's always nice to see them in print and sat all together in paper form. I know a lot of readers like that, and so we're proud to deliver, and we'll carry on trying our best to do so.
We're all very proud of you as well, John. Thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
And that's it then for this week. Only it's not, is it? Because I have to update you on the National League playoffs. Southend United coming back from 3-1 down early in the second half to go into extra time, and then a Charlie Kendall header gave them the win, 4-3 in extra time. That means next Tuesday, the 20th, it will be York City hosting Oldham Athletic in the first semi-final, and on Wednesday, Forest Green Rovers hosting Southend United. One of those four teams will end up with promotion back to the Football League, but who would it be? And of course, there's also plenty of managerial merry-go-round moves that we haven't discussed. Congratulations to old friend of the show from BBC London days and from his days as Hayes and Yedding as well, Bradley Pritchard, the new boss in at Lewis. Looking elsewhere, Bobby Grant, the new man in at Marine FC, and he's got a great mentor up there, a great new chapter ahead for Marine FC. Congratulations also to Daff Williams, who replaces Mike Cook at Gloucester City, the gaffer there. Paul McCarthy returns to Ashford Town, Middlesex, as the assistant to Luke Tough. Scott Harris, as John Couch mentioned there, has left Kingstonian after effectively a two-year period there at the club. Neil Danz is going to be supported by Mark Duffy, the new team up at Southport FC. And Chris Knight leaves AFC St Austell. Dan Hart departs Buckland Athletic. He's replaced by Matt Cusack, more recently at Helston Athletic. Tom Ward's the new man up at Newark and Sherwood United. Will Justin, the new man in at Bristol Manor Farm. We mentioned the Ainsley brothers up at Felixstowe and Warton United. Elliot Dickman's the man out at South Shields. Wayne Gamble resigning at Ivy Bridge Town. Dean Cox goes in at Lancing after a couple of seasons of being away from the club there. Jamie Tompkins, as we mentioned, and his team leaving Ascot United by mutual consent. Adam Lakeland also out at King's Lynn. And Ash Saunders stepping down at Tadley Kaleva. A number of other moves as well, but we'll catch up with those probably during next week. Before I do let you go, though, of course, It's a big weekend for football. It's not just the FA Cup final. I'm going to miss the FA Cup final. I can't remember the last time I missed the FA Cup final. So while you lot are piling in peanuts and sinking beers watching the game on TV, I will, of course, be doing my 26-mile walk from Sandbanks Pool along the coastal path to the hospice at Lymington, Oakhaven Hospice, where my day job is. It's an independent charity. It helps make memories for those facing end of life. We need £9 million a year to run the hospice, and each year only 11% of that comes from government grants. So every little contribution helps. I know we're very grateful to the number of people that supported the cause last week with their sponsorship. If you want to back me and make sure that I get round, you can donate at www.justgiving.com/team/fuel, F-U-E-L-L. That's www.justgiving.com/team/fuel. Your support is very, very, very much appreciated, and will be even more appreciated, I'm sure, on Sunday morning when I'm nursing my legs and reading the non-league paper. But before then, don't forget you can get involved on social media at Non-League Show and myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And as ever, every week you can find us on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn, Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GSF, and Little Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy the football. Thank you. And goodbye.